Hi, thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you will stash in a secret hiding place to break out when you need it most. This week's tool is change, and why it is important to be good at managing it, for change is inevitable, and navigating it successfully is a great contributor to your brand in life and in business. Change is stressful for humans because any change represents a loss in some way. We may be excited about change if it is a positive one, causing us to forget about acknowledging the losses, and then find that they hit us down the road. If the change is neutral or negative one for us, thinking about all that we've got to lose can paralyze us. Sometimes, to cope with losses, we go into a state of mind called denial to prevent ourselves from thinking about those losses. However, a fundamental step in coping with loss is to acknowledge and think about what is going away. Next, we need to feel those losses. This period is called grieving. We may feel sad, angry, depressed, confused, frustrated, but also elated with all of the newness that change can give us. This helps us to move on to thinking about accepting this new reality. These steps can be found in the book, The Challenge of Change by William Bridges. Along with these steps, we have the emotional, physical, and mental symptoms of change. The book, Making Change Work for You by Richard Deems, helps us navigate these normal responses due to the stress of change, and it is important to allow ourselves to have these reactions as they arise in order to take the healthy steps to cope. I have an exercise that I use in my seminars that is helpful in enabling the ability to structure and categorize the losses involved in change and to consider actions to engage in to deal with them. So we draw a box and divide it into four quadrants, and they are losses I must relinquish, what I am not losing, losses I must replace, and losses I can rebuild. For today's U Inc., we will focus on replacing and rebuilding. How we do this is by identifying the purpose of this change and that it is an opportunity to communicate to yourself and others a new vision to replace what is lost and rebuild a new reality. We then look at the big picture and think about how the change that we will take place in our lives will look, and that is helpful in crystallizing things further. Creating a plan is next, laying out a step-by-step about how we are going to get to that new place from here. And finally, not forgetting to have conversations with those in our work and our home life as for their part in the new order of things. For more, check out the book, The Heart of Change, by John Cotter and Dan Cohen. There are rules for change in an article in Psychology Today to help guide you that you can also find in our library and links and books and our website at wcbe.org, as well as our podcast. And you can also find U Inc. and our companion show, U Tune, podcasted on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher for this and episodes past. Finally, keeping in mind that the stages of change look a lot like the stages of grief, when we are in denial, ask for more information and give yourself time. In resistance, accept your feelings as normal and take care of yourself physically and emotionally, and find ways to appropriately express your feelings. In exploration, find new ways to implement your new skills and abilities, get training if you need it, participate in the new ways of doing things, and in the commitment phase, set those long-term goals and participate in team building to finally look ahead to even more change in the future. Only I can change my life. No one can do it for me. And that is a quote by famous actress and comedian Carol Burnett. Johnny DiLoretto described himself as a creative collaborator in the area of communications, media, and community relations, branding, and social media. Everyone who knows him would agree. And you might have known him as Director of Business Development, Account Director at Herb Gillen Advertising, and you might have known him as Director of Operations at Gateway Film Center, or as a morning show host at Fox's Good Day Columbus, and you might know him as co-host, producer, and writer at the award-winning cinema classics at WCBE Media. And you might know him from the Not So Late Show with his partner Summer Marie Sturrud at Shadowbox, a variety and comedy show with a peculiar bent, and also his highly charged political activism. And most recently, Mr. DiLoretto has taken on the role of marketing community relations for Central Ohio's NPR station, our very own WCB 19.5. Welcome, Mr. DiLoretto.
Thank you, Rhea. Thanks. You can call me Johnny. We don't have to be so formal.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Okay, Johnny.
Yeah.
Considering that we are landlocked.
Yeah.
Has your obsession about shark attacks changed?
No. No. I love sharks. And I'm fascinated by sharks. I get a little Google alert. So every day in my Google feed, I get a little shark fix. You know, sometimes it's an attack. Sometimes it's just great whites spotted off the coast of Cape Cod, you know, stuff like that. But I don't know. I love kind of being connected outside of Columbus, I guess. And maybe
right.
Sharks are my vehicle for that.
Are you an advocate for sharks as well?
Yeah. I mean, I don't do any, you know, formal advocacy for them, but I certainly love them. And, you know, I just read recently one of the articles that popped up on my feed was that I think it was a Chinese fishing ship was found and discovered, and they had all these like 3,000 dead sharks on it, you know, and that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend and advocate that everyone in Central Ohio leave sharks alone.
Good. Thank you. I agree with you completely.
Don't hunt sharks.
Right. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't eat shark fin soup.
Mm-mm.
Right.
That is a problem.
So, Johnny, welcome home.
Thank you.
Have all of your changes in your career and your life led to this very moment and point in your career?
I'd like to believe that. And, you know, it's so cool to be talking to you right now. This is my second day here at the station, full time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been in and out of this station for so many years, back when I was reviewing movies for the other paper and I'd come on and John DeSando and Clay Lowe had their first iteration of It's Movie Time. And I would occasionally guest on that show. So, yeah, I do feel home mm-hmm. here. And it's so exciting. You know, I have been, as you said, through so many changes professionally mm-hmm. and within the last 5 years even. And, you know, I started at the Herb Gillen Agency in late 2016. And though that was a great opportunity and I learned a lot, it wasn't a sustainable opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't quite me. It wasn't quite the right fit. And I remember talking to, I refer to her as my person, Summer, you know, and
I like
it
that.
Was a great opportunity. And she said, you know, I know that you love it there and I know you like the people there and that it seems great, but I don't think it's quite you. And I think this is just a stepping stone. And it turned out to be a stepping stone back here and I do feel at home here, so I'm extraordinarily excited.
Right. And I know the feeling, because when I finally started doing my show, we were talking about that earlier, like how I started here.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same emotion. Just I felt like everything that I had done up until this point led to this moment. So here we are together.
Yeah.
Isn't that
it's
great?
Pretty fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's great.
Okay, so I want to start with a quote by a paranormal researcher about you. And this individual says, Johnny is an amazing person of high energy and wit. He captures the eyes and ears of those who encounter him, and meeting with him in person is equal to spending time with an old friend. I would recommend Johnny for any position that he may apply for. So when we talk about change, does the ability to effectively communicate with everyone and creating a sense of immediate intimacy help you navigate those perils of change that we talked about?
Well, hold on for a second. That was a paranormal researcher said that?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I was so fascinated by the paranormal researcher aspect of that recommendation that I found it hard to focus on the question. What was the question again?
Okay, the question is, when we talk about change, does the ability to effectively communicate with everyone and create a sense of immediate intimacy help you navigate those perils of change?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think effectively communicating and creating intimacy helps you navigate almost anything. And maybe that's just me because communication is such a part of my, you know, day-to-day existence and has been professionally and personally. So certainly, because as you mentioned earlier in your preamble to the show, change is very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we always recognize the stressors that it's placing on us because it could be good, it could be bad. We don't know where that manifests sometimes in the way we're presenting ourselves to the world. So absolutely, it helps to be able to clearly articulate your feelings, your doubts, your enthusiasms, your concerns. In other words, being able to communicate those things to the people around you, your support group, are going to help those people, you know, better aid you in your navigation of change.
Right. And then like also the support group at your workplace too, being able to communicate those things as well.
Yeah, of course.
Like, this is what I need. I don't know what this is. I need some training. Another thing that I find too is a lot of people's outward language is usually a reflection of what their inward language is. So this probably also means that you have really great conversations with yourself.
If you're a good communicator.
Right. If you're a good
communicator. If you're a good communicator, those things are lined up, right?
Right.
Yeah. If they're not, you know, and somebody is got their arms crossed and they're talking, you know. Yeah, so definitely when you're communicating, you should be feeling something.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling creates an energy that should bring about the appropriate physical communication
right,
as well.
Right, creating those bridges instead of dams.
Mm-hmm.
So, Johnny, you wear many hats, even currently now in the current incarnation that you're in. So how do you make the change and those transitions happen, let's say, from underwriter to comedian to where you're fully present when you step into those roles?
The performing part of it is a weird thing that's just, it's just there and comes out when I need it to come out. And the other part of it, you know, is just, I don't know, sometimes I get up in my head and I can't get out of there. So being on stage is a really interesting place to be because it feels like it's happening and it feels like I'm in control of a lot of things and a lot of energies at once. And sometimes professionally I have to kind of rise up to that. You know, I think I'm an introvert actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I
think people find that surprising.
Yeah, I think, but not surprising because I feel like a lot of performers are actually introverts. So being introverted in the professional place can, you know, be a detriment. So it's nice to kind of tap into some of that performance energy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that my communications from a professional standpoint are performative. They are honest. I've always prided myself and being a genuine person and making genuine connections.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what's really valuable in the professional space is being able to kind of cut through, you know, workplace jargon, get to real feelings and make real connections in that
mm-hmm.
space.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think too, like performing allows us to get to that flow and that, I don't know, like myself too, when sometimes I feel like I'm like tired from doing that, like the business part of my job. And then when I get in front of and I speak in front of people, I just get this energy. So it's, mm-hmm. it creates this really nice balance between those two aspects of my career. So sounds
yeah.
like you feel the same.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so here at U Inc., we talk about work life being as important as our personal lives. So in terms of loyalty, I want to talk about loyalty. So you mentioned like earlier, Herb Gillen, you were late 2016, and now here you are at another position. So wouldn't change, so people listening, so changing roles in the workplace, would it kind of work against someone trying to like change jobs and then trying to get employed? Like they would think that this person isn't going to be loyal to the company. What do you think about that in terms of people's career trajectory? Should they go for the change and not worry about that? Or what are some of your thoughts about that?
Well, I think you need to,
you know, the whole like Jill of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, no, I got it. I think that you just need to be honest about what your motivations are. You know, when I left Channel 6 in 28, you know, I was pretty honest about why I was leaving. It was an icky situation. It wasn't the best sort of scenario, and I, you know, didn't want to leave under those circumstances, but I felt that I needed to, and I think I communicated that clearly. And also at that time in my life, I was, you know, I had this idea in my head that I never wanted to be, your typical media personality. So, like, I looked at a lot of local television broadcasting, and I saw stiff insincerity.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted that to be the case. I also, and you know, I was on there for about 10 to 12 years.
Wow.
And what I saw was that, you know, you either become that thing and just ride it out as long as you can, but eventually someone's going to push you out.
Yeah.
You're either going to be pushed out by someone younger, or you're going to be pushed out by some manager.
I had read that you had mentioned that in one of the interviews, that you said, you know, I'm going to get pushed out sooner or later. Why not leave under my own?
Yeah, I want to do it myself.
My way.
So,
right.
You know, that felt good to make that change. And, you know, you quoted Carol Burnett saying that you're the only one responsible for changing
right.
your life. I don't believe that.
Okay.
I mean, I think that, you know, that's great. And it's something we can aspire to. But the truth is, you know, your life can change in a heartbeat through death.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make that change. That change happened,
sure.
right? That's kind of inarguable. So as cute as Carol Burnett's little phrasing is,
sure.
it doesn't really hold up under scrutiny. That change can also be forced on you professionally by being fired. You didn't make that change, you know? Or even in your personal life, someone chooses to leave you. Someone betrays you. Someone, you know? So I definitely think that it can work against you, right? It's how you respond. One of the challenges in my life has always been responding to change. I'm not real good at it.
Okay.
There's a Woody Allen quote that lines up more with my sensibilities, which is, change is death. That's what it feels like. You know, and more often than not, change isn't as exciting as the one I'm currently experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change isn't as positive. It doesn't necessarily always feel like, oh my God, it's been leading up to this? Perfect. That's what I wanted. You know, it's not always that. So for me, change is usually a really hard road to hoe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad I'm here. But yeah, it takes a lot of control to respond in the right way to change.
Right.
You know,
it's interesting. And I like your kind of realistic, you know, way of handling change. So I guess it would bring me to my next question, which would be, since you have such a hard time with change, but you have experienced quite a bit of change career-wise, what would be some of your pro tips towards how you can navigate that change in a better way?
Oh, I haven't really thought about it, but when you said that, the word anticipation popped up in my head. So I think being aware of your surroundings, being aware of your situation, anticipating it, and then taking the proper steps. You know, like if you can anticipate it, you can sort of orchestrate it maybe, and
mm-hmm.
you can better handle it.
Right.
You know, so if you see something coming, right?
Yeah.
It's like brake lights.
Right.
You know, you're going to be able to respond better when you have some cues. So I would say, be attuned to those cues first and foremost.
Because maybe you can see it, that this person's going to leave you if you don't do something about your relationship.
Right.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of times people are shocked at what happens in their relationships, but there's so little actual presence there. And that's when I think most people kind of get blindsided or you know, hurt in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
But the same is true in almost every other avenue there. Surely sometimes we're surprised, I get that. But there are cues most of the time, and you should be sensitive to them.
I agree. So do you have something that you like to do, though, when you're experiencing that suffering of change, something that kind of helps, like, make it smoother for you?
Well, I used to drink a lot.
Now you just drink a little?
Yeah, now I just drink a little. I just drink wine, and I read Nietzsche. No, I don't do that. Yeah, I mean, coping mechanisms, you should have some good ones
right
on hand. I've coped poorly in the past. I'm coping better with change now. You asked me if I was going to the gym. Yes.
Okay.
Eating better, drinking less,
mm-hmm.
trying to stay active. That helps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got to resist the urge to self-medicate those stressors.
Yep. Developing those negative coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
Thank you for your like very like frank and like you're bearing yourself, this is very helpful, I think, for a lot of people who are listening to kind of manage that. Let's talk about changing relationships. So you're currently in a relationship, but you have a child from another relationship, as do I.
Two.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And in today's society, I think in general, couples are encouraged to just kind of move on when things aren't working for them. How do you feel about change in that regard?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's hard. I was just talking about this earlier today. I was the one that made that change. I feel like I didn't do it in the best way. I feel like I caused a lot of pain, which I regret. I was not happy, though. You know, I guess, look, you should never cause anyone pain cavalierly. I feel like a lot of people do move through their lives making change, brutal changes, willy-nilly, without regard to other human beings and their fragility. That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from the movie The Philadelphia Story, where Cary Grant says, "You'll never be a first-class human being until you learn to have some small regard for human frailty."
Mm.
That's a quotation that I have rattling around in my head a lot. So, you know, it comes right down to the people you love. You should take care of those people, even if you don't love them in the way you're supposed to or you feel like you should love them. And that can be really difficult. So I would just say, just take care, you know, and don't be cavalier about it, though you may need to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my philosophies is don't make people put on their brakes. You know, like when you're driving, you probably shouldn't make any moves that are going to force someone to react to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's possible to change lanes very smoothly if you're doing it and you're aware of how fast you're going, the distance between you and the other car. You know, it's not real difficult to make your transitions on the road without affecting everybody else. I think that holds true a lot in our personal interactions and professional interactions. You know, a kind word here and there, a pat on the back, you know, a thank you, a held open door. These are things that can facilitate communication and interaction without derailing people, but also, you know, compassion and just a little looking out for the other guy, which is another quotation. Jimmy Stewart, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Movie buff.
I was going to say, you must be involved with movies, as we know.
I'm always afraid I'm going to go crazy later on in my, like when I get older, I'm going to be the crazy movie quote guy.
Could be worse.
That's just like, you know, strolling down High Street with a grocery cart and is muttering movie quotes.
Right. Could be worse, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it could be.
Could be worse. So, Johnny, you know, we talked about that you're very active, about your political activism and how you think about things.
I like that you think I'm politically active, which is there's just smart aleck remarks on Facebook.
Fine. But, cool. Smart alecky remarks on Facebook. If you could change one thing in the world, and since this is about change, I have to ask, what would it be?
What would I change in the world? How cavalierly people fish for sharks.
That's yes.
Number one.
Yay.
What would I change, you know?
Considering current events. But
yeah,
you don't have to go there if you don't want
no,
to.
No, I mean,
yeah.
Look, sometimes I think, I wonder if we could ask each other that question so broadly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does your ideal situation look like for the world? I feel like most of us would all be on the same page, right? We'd all want prosperity.
Right.
We'd all want peace. We'd all want equality and compassion, right?
Right.
I mean, we'd all want those things, but when you start getting specific about how to get there, that's where we sort of diverge politically.
Right.
When you start to drill down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I guess if I could change one thing, I would want people to have higher standards if I wasn't going to go in a cliche direction.
Right.
And I think maybe if everyone held themselves to higher standards, held other people to higher intellectual and standards of compassion, that we would all get to a place where it'd be a fun place to live.
Yep. So what are some of the changes that you see for your role here now at WCBE? Now that you're like this new position, you're breathing new life into this role. What are some changes we can see happening here at WCBE?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be presumptuous. And
on your second day.
On my second day. I will say that right now, my plan of attack is
not
to,
a shark attack.
Not a shark attack. Yeah. Is to learn as much as I can from the great Jim Coe, who's been a pillar in the community for as long as I can remember
being here. A legend.
And just soak up his energy and his wisdom.
Right behind you.
And experience. Yeah. And, you know, learn the processes, you know, follow through on all the connections Jim has made. You know, I just want to, we keep saying how big his shoes are. You know, if I fill one of them, I think I'll be good.
But anything new you want to bring to any new changes you want to bring to that role?
Well, I definitely want more people to know about and listen to WCBE. So that's sort of a long-term goal that I have. I believe in the power of public radio. I believe in the mission. I believe that the journalism that happens on public radio is extraordinary. I think that it is a commodity that people don't realize or take full advantage of.
Yep.
So that's what I want. I want to drum the NPR. I want to beat the NPR drum and bring more people to our side.
Great. I think that's a wonderful change. And I wouldn't change a single thing about today's interview. I really appreciate all the sharing that you've done. And thank you for inspiring all of us to embrace change. And thank you for embracing the invitation to be on U Inc. today.
No sweat, Rhea. Thank you.
Thank you. Waiting for a change. And now a word from our person on the street.
All right, Carmen, what are your thoughts on change?
Well, I guess one of the big things right now in terms of change is that there's a lot of change going on in our world, whether that's climate change or change between different groups of people where they are no longer coexisting peacefully. And I think the biggest thing that I see is that change is going in the wrong direction. I would love to see change going in a more positive direction and see a change toward understanding and towards coexistence with those that we disagree with. But I also think that we need to be a little more cognizant of the fact that different people are going to need different things. They're going to need more help getting jobs. They're going to need more help with how they learn. And needing help isn't a bad thing. And we need to change our perspective on whether or not needing things is a bad thing. And that needing help and needing guidance isn't bad. It's just different.
I wouldn't change a single thing about your answer. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to U Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.